Hello, welcome to Spotlight, the artistic tinsel in your run-up to Christmas.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, young authors get their stories published in the big book of magical Manx tales. Could you be the next young actor of Man? And a first in the world of opera. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you may be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, opera this evening? Yes. Calligraphy? Why not? Any of the others? I've forgotten loads. Just email me, Howard Kane, with an E, at manxradio.com, or spotlight@manxradio.com. Love to hear from you. Love to get you featured. More people are doing it. Why don't you join them? Not often we feature opera on Spotlight, is it? No. Stay tuned to hear more. Someone who's no stranger to this programme, however, is the accidental author Rob Cowley, who started doing just one children's book as a hobby, as it were, after making up stories for his grandchildren, and has now become something of a children's author. He's published numerous titles in the Manx Bedtime Story series, all linked to a different colour and animal, all with positive messages for children, and all with the profits going to great causes. Being a retired teacher of maths, bizarrely, not English, as you might think, he's also been keen to encourage young children to read and indeed write their own stories. And this has now resulted in another book, written and illustrated, not by Rob himself, but by the children. And this is being launched this very weekend. The man himself, Rob, dropped in to tell me more.
I've run a creative writing competition for 6 to 13-year-olds. And last year when I did that, they were just getting published in my books, which meant there was a limit. And there were so many good stories. This time round, I've decided to publish their stories in a book, the big book of magical Manx tales. And it was supposed to be just 20 of the best stories, but it's ended up being 28.
Is that sheerly because of the quality of the entries?
The quality has been really good this year, and it's been helped because Dandara have come on as a support for the project, which has given me a little bit more flexibility, so I don't have to exclude anybody. And one of the nicest things this time is so many young writers. The 6 to 9-year-olds really wrote a lot of stories this year, and they have produced some weird and wonderful, mainly wonderful stories. And even the whole year 4 class at Moran School entered en bloc, which was lovely as well.
And was there a specific theme for the stories for them?
Yes, as with all my books, they have themes, mainly kindness and respect and friendship. And this year they were allowed to write about fixing the planet, and quite a few did, which I thought
very topical,
was really nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been interesting to see what they've come up with.
And I know we've said this before, but I think we're always amazed with the quality of entries and the fact that so many young people, particularly in this digital age where there's so many other distractions, will actually take the time to sit down and come up with a story and illustrations as well.
Yeah, and that's the delight. And a lot of parents comment when they email their stories in, they're just saying how lovely it was to see their son or daughter at a table with a pen in hand writing, or working with a friend, because you could collaborate for a story as well. And that's part of the joy of the whole thing.
And the quality, you were showing me a few proofs just before we started recording. The quality of some of the installations, fantastic. There was a super bunny, which you sent me a picture of earlier on, which I really liked. And then one about the Lockton. Brilliant pictures there. And then two leopards done in a pencil sketch. I couldn't do that. I sat down in the month of Sundays.
I know. It is inspiring. And that's on the front of the book. It's, inspiring stories from young Manx writers and illustrators. And then I've been very lucky because I discovered a very talented young graphic designer called Ashley Britz, who's put the book together with her partner Michael and made a really good job. Each story's been personalised and it's just been put together beauty in a very short space of time.
There is now going to be an official launch then?
Yes, we're heading now to this weekend, the 6th of December, where 2 o'clock at St Ninian's Lower School at Bemhaig site in the school hall, we're going to have the 33 winners, and we'll give out prizes, and they'll be able to buy their book because they're now published authors and illustrators.
I have to get signed copies from them all. It sounds fantastic, which is brilliant. So that's the 6th of December. After then, the book will then be sort of generally available for anyone who'd like a copy.
Yes. I'm hoping that they'll all be out in the shops by the Monday after that, on the 8th, and they'll be in various places on the island. So north and south will be the Bridge Bookshop. Over in the west, it'll be at the Manx Museum Shop. And then in Douglas at the Museum Shop, the Mostly Manx Shop and the Book Company are all stocking the books ready for Christmas.
Terrific. And they do look like a lovely sort of Christmas style, but good at any time of year, to be honest with you, having had just a very quick sneak preview of it, because they're colourful and they're fun and they're inspiring and they're all written by young people on the element. It does give you hope for the future in a gloomy world, doesn't it?
It does. And the fact that the funds raised from the book are going to help other young people. So the two charities we're working for are the children's ward at the hospital. And I've been up seeing Sarah and Sarah up there to find out what they need. And I got an interesting lesson because I presumed it would be books and furry toys and games and things like that. But not at all, because they have to be very careful about germs being swapped between patients. So they need lots of individual things. So we're going to get lots of craft stuff. We're going to get some sensory toys and equipment for young babies. We're going to refurb. They've got a robot up there with a big TV in it, but it just doesn't work. So we're going to refurb that with a DVD player and a Wii machine, and then provide some packs for parents and children who get rushed in overnight with nothing. So just a little overnight bag, really. So that's our target for the children's ward spending spree. And then Fiona up at Bridge the Gap, we sat down and looked at what they're doing. I've never seen their pod up behind A&E, and it's fantastic for younger males or teenagers, boys and girls, aged sort of 14 to 24, who have long-term issues health-wise and have to spend time in hospital. They can come out to the pod, where it's really lovely, and their friends can come in because it's got an outside door. And we're going to get hopefully some... We're trying to get a foosball table, to be honest, a coffee table, but I can't find one at the minute that's coffee table sized. But we're working on it, and that's going to be hopefully what we provide for a Bridge of the Gap.
It's a win-win-win situation all round. Yes. The kids get to write their stories and see them published, which, I mean, who wouldn't want to see your work published in a beautiful full-colour production? The money raised all goes to these great causes as well. People who buy the book get something nice for Christmas, something to read, something to give them their coffee table, give us presents, whatever the case may be. What do you get out of it doing all the work?
I just get a huge amount of enjoyment. I get to meet all the children. I get to meet the parents. I get to meet the charities involved all the way through. I've got lots of fantastic memories of every charity I've supported because they do the work. I provide money or equipment or some things like that, but I get to meet the people who do the work on the island, who often go unmentioned, and they do such a fantastic job, mostly in the background, and something we should celebrate more.
Absolutely. It is out, or will be out in time for Christmas, as we say, so look out at the places that Rob mentioned there if you want to pick up a copy. Just finally going forward, I'm assuming we're talking here, obviously this is running up to Christmas and the Christmas launch and out in the shops in time for that into 2026. I'm guessing, I might be wrong, I'm guessing you might have vague plans for the following year?
I do. In fact, on this book, I'll be out in Tesco. I'll be at the Little Switzerland Tesco on the 16th of December. I'll be up at the Ramsey Tesco on the 19th of December, and then down at the Riverside Tesco on the 21st of December for selling books. And then Orange is already planned for 2026. And that is again all about sort of saving the environment. It's about plastic in the sea. It's called the Manx basking shark called Cedric, who obviously, they swim around with their mouths open, they take a lot of plastic in, and has to go and see the octopus to get better.
I think you did that, yeah.
and that will be out hopefully around Easter time.
I think Rob's an inspiration, not just to the children, but anyone who thinks they can't write a book or raise money for good causes or do both at the same time. What a way to spend your retirement. Look out for the book, The Big Book of Magical Manx Tales, and we'll no doubt be talking to Rob again about his next project before we know it.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Now, we all know there's huge amounts of artistic talent on the Isle of Man in pretty much every field, not least, of course, the performing arts. Many young Manx men and women have gone on to work professionally in stage, behind stage, lighting, filming, camera, all sorts of stuff. A great launch pad for this is the Young Actor of Man scheme, and now is the time to think about getting involved if you think you could be the next Young Actor of Man. To find out more, current Young Actor of Man Scarlett Brophy, Chair of MADFA and Young Actor of Man Coordinator Leandra Lawler, and MADFA President, Madam President, with a gong, Sharon Walker, strode confidently into the Spotlight studio and spoke forth with clarity.
Young Actor of Man, we first held it in 1993, but it was born out of an idea of wanting to nurture young talent on the island. And over the years, we've had some quite incredible winners, Leah Carter, Tony Eccles, not least my husband, John Walker,
yes,
Olivia O'Shea, and more recently, fantastic people like Scarlett and Ari Wilson. And the idea really was, as I said before, really just to encourage young talent on the island and give them a platform to be able to perform and get good critique from a professional adjudicator who could give them some hints and tips about how they might move forward with their acting and whether they would decide to move on to sort of a professional stage, which has obviously been the case for people like Tony and Leah and what have you. So that's really where it was born about.
Okay, Leandra, you are now the Young Actor of Man coordinator. So what involves basically what bringing the people into the actual Young Actor of Man arena or looking for the next Young Actor of Man?
That's correct, Howard. I was also the coordinator in 2024 when Scarlett won with her amazing performance. We are promoting it, we're advertising it, we're asking people aged between 13 and 19 to enter the Young Actor, which is actually free. I've had a few messages asking, is there a charge, is there a fee, but it's free. And we're asking people to come forward to take part in the new process. There's a new process this year, slightly different from what we've done in the past. It's mixing a workshop with live performances in front of an audience this year.
Okay, so if people are thinking, yes, I'd like to have a go, how easy is it to do that? How do they apply?
So they can go to madfa.im, which is madf.im, for full details. There's little drop downs in there, and you'll see our festivals. Click on our festivals, then click on Young Actor of Man 2026, and everything is there with downloadable forms that they can fill in, and then they can send them to me.
Marvellous. Scarlett, now you're current young actor?
Yeah.
How did you get involved? What brought you, first off, what brought you to acting? Is that something you'd always done through school and such like?
I've always done acting since I've been young. And there's loads of musical theatre opportunities, so I did loads of acting, singing, dancing, all this. But I found my proper passion for acting through, like, acting classes and doing plays for the first time. I just found it so, like, real and so, like, raw. And being able to do plays with that represent different things and have meanings, it was just something that, like, just meant a lot to me.
And what has the experience meant for you so far? Because you're the current Young Actor of Man. So what has that meant for you? What's that brought to you, do you think?
I think the main thing it's brought to me is just confidence in myself. Before the competition, I don't think I was very confident in my acting ability. I thought it was more of a hobby than a potential career for me. But then after the competition, I was able to... It raised my confidence. I was able to do things I never thought I'd be able to do. And I've just decided to go for what I want to do now. And do loads of productions and plays that mean a lot to me.
And I think, are you in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang at the moment, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So do you like doing some straight drama and the musical drama as well?
Yeah, I like the mix of things. And there's just loads of opportunities on island, and I just love being able to do things like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but also things like plays as well, like things MADFA have done recently. We've just finished Midsummer's Night's Dream, which Leandra and Sharon have also worked on.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
Which was fabulous. It was great.
It was fantastic, yes. I was there as well. And it's something... So is it something now you are considering, because it's been, you know, we just mentioned it beforehand with Sharon and Leandra, is it something now acting that you're thinking of trying to pursue professionally?
I'd hope to, yes.
It's an interesting point, actually, just to jump in. If you ask Tony Eccles, so when Tony Eccles won, much to my husband's annoyance, the first year Tony entered, he hadn't done much acting and he was competing against John, and he beat John, as I say, much to his annoyance. But actually what it made Tony realise that that was a potential opportunity for him, and then he moved on and obviously, as I say, went on to drama school and then went on to work professionally, and obviously even now back on the island has his own theatre school. So I like to think that the great thing that Young Actor of Mine does is give young people that platform to think, actually, I might be quite good at this, and actually I could do something with it.
Excellent. And I think that's what you're saying, Scarlett. And if you, well, put it another way, 5-10 years time, we are chatting to you now, where would you like to be? Would you like to be like a film star? Would you like to be on stage? Or would you like to be in some sort of educational aspect? What would be your preference, do you think? Or maybe you don't know at the moment.
I'm quite open-minded with it, but one dream I've had for a while is to be at the RSC or doing plays, because I quite like Shakespeare, so I'd love to be doing something like that in the future.
Excellent.
Well, to add to that, Howard, actually, which is really great for Scarlett this year, is our adjudicator is Edward Bennett, and he is renowned Royal Shakespeare Company performer, actor, and he also does workshops. And part of our Young Actor of Man schedule this year is he is coming and he's going to be our adjudicator, and he's going to do workshops, which Scarlett is going to work alongside Ed rather than being one of the competitors. And but Sharon knows a lot more about Ed's background and where he comes from and his experience.
Yeah, only because we were very fortunate to have Ed as a consultant for us for Midsummer Night's Dream. And absolutely, as Leandra says, he has worked with the RSC. He's just most recently been in the West End in A Man for All Seasons, but people will know him for being in TV work like Bridgerton and Rogue Heroes and things like that as well. But he also is a patron of the Chichester Festival, so again has lots of experience of working with young people. And we've done workshops through Young Actor of Man before, and they've been very, very successful. So I think it gives just a bit more of a rounded experience, rather than historically you just came and performed two monologues. But now we've moved on from that and tried to do something different. But yeah, Ed will be fantastic. He's also going to be here on the Saturday to do a further workshop for other people. But actually, the best thing that Scarlett will get out of working with Ed is actually going to talk to him. He's a tremendous inspiration, and I think every competitor will get a lot out of that.
So looking forward to that already, I imagine, then, Scarlett.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Very excited.
Open to anyone, then, Leandra? They don't need to be in a society or have any sort of previous experience or track record?
Absolutely, that's right, Howard. So basically, anybody aged between 13 to 19, correct me if I'm wrong, Sharon, I think it is for Ireland, Manx people who are on Ireland. Yes,
yeah. Yep. Okay.
And so that you can enter if you are part of theatre school. Some people enter through the theatre schools, some people enter through their high schools, drama departments, and some people can enter personally as an individual who just isn't connected to anything. And we have had that in the past, I believe. The competition is the 15th of March in 2026 at the Studio Theatre in Balcomean. The whole day will be set aside for the competition, for the competitors. So, yes.
Lovely. And remind us again, if people are listening to this and thinking, you know what, I wouldn't mind having a go, when do they have to get their applications in by?
Applications need to be in by the 10th of January, and that's just their application with a headshot. And then by the 7th of February, we need the script. And again, it's all the information's there on the MADFA website for everybody to decide if they would like to take part. And I hope everybody does and as successful as Scarlett is.
Absolutely. And just final word to you then, Scarlett. Anyone listening and thinking, oh, I don't know, should I, shouldn't I? What would you say to someone who's thinking, and maybe like you were saying, perhaps doesn't quite have the confidence, but thinking, shall I, shan't I?
Go for it. There's nothing stopping you from going for it. And you, no matter the competition, if you win or not, you get a sense of community from everyone there, and it's just a great experience, and it helps build your confidence and gives you the thought of, hey, maybe I could actually do this. So yeah, go for it.
Go for it.
And on that, not only do you win the wonderful prestigious title of Young Actor of Man, you also win a bursary of £500 that you can use to choose to go to theatre school or towards education. It has to be within theatre. Mm-hmm. And Scarlett, you're having a think about it now.
Yeah, hopefully I should be attending a Shakespeare workshop with the bursary money soon.
Well done to Scarlett, of course. Would you like to be the next Young Actor of Man? You could do it. Well, now you know what to do. Just don't hang around. Yeah. Now, who is this who has just appeared at the door to the Spotlight studio waving a very interesting-looking flyer at me?
I'm Matthew Warren. I'm a composer, and I'm here to talk about the world's first Manx opera.
The world's first Manx opera. I mean, it just sounds exciting straight off. What's the sort of genesis of this?
Yeah, so the genesis goes back about more than a year now to a very informal conversation with some of the folks at Culture Vannon. And we were chatting about, you know, what kind of music doesn't happen on the Isle of Man at the moment. And they were really curious to, you know, do I have any ideas of stuff that isn't happening or hasn't happened that we could do in the future? And I sat on that for about 6-9 months, something like that, before I came back. You know what? Has anyone ever written an opera in the Manx language? And as far as we can make out, no.
No, I've never heard of one.
So I kind of went, oh, okay, this seems like an interesting idea. And the more people I spoke to, the more the kind of there was the raised eyebrow of interest. And so that keeps you investigating more until it all gets out of hand and you find yourself actually writing the thing.
Which is a challenge. So, I mean, how do you go about starting a Manx opera? I mean, presumably you need some sort of theme or some sort of storyline or something to sort of start off.
Absolutely, yeah. So for me, the way it starts off was with mulling over the kind of themes it might deal with. I wasn't absolutely wedded to dealing with a distinctly Manx story, but it was the language that was really going to carry it through. That said, I actually got inspiration from my partner, who wrote a poem some years ago, kind of reimagining one of our Manx folklore stories, and that had been sitting with me for a few years, and it kind of reemerged whilst I was thinking about what's this opera going to be about, and so it ended up kind of taking that theme, and so that was all about the story of Tehi Tegi, which some people may know. And although it's not a direct retelling of that, it's inspired and influenced by that. I think I can say that without giving too much away about the plot. And I started writing a libretto, which is the words for an opera. So effectively a long, extended poem, I suppose, mm-hmm. which would be sung by the performers. And through that, kind of the stories developed into a one-act chamber opera, so it'll probably be about 40 minutes in the end. And I've obviously written this in English, I should say. I am very much beginner Manx learner, and I'm really excited that Bob Carswell has agreed to come on board and co-create the Manx libretto. And he's not only such a wonderful translator, but such a wonderful poet and musician and artist. I'm really excited for him to get his hands on it and start, you know, making real Manx poetry out of what at the moment are kind of all my ideas in English.
And is that a challenge then, as far as the libretto is concerned? Because as you say, I was thinking that if it's going to be sung in Manx, you've written it in English. Of course, things don't always naturally translate or sort of come across the same way and with the same meter when you put it into a different language.
Absolutely, yeah. So this is a real issue of kind of style, of how you go about writing writing the words. There are lots of different styles of writing opera. It is an art form that's been going for many hundreds of years, and so there are many different approaches to doing it. My approach to writing the words is probably most closely aligned to opera, kind of closer to Wagner and Debussy, where you have this continual, more like a play dialogue. So it's not necessarily metered, it's not very regimentally structured. It kind of comes over in the flow of language. You're trying to write kind of free-form poetry, basically. So it's not following a particular meter, which I think, I'm hoping, should make Bob's job a lot more, maybe not more straightforward, because there's a lot of nuance in there, but should mean that he can have a lot of liberty with how he constructs the Manx in a way that's sympathetic to the language. So one thing I really don't want to do is try and write an opera that is kind of just an English opera that's been translated into Manx. Mm-hmm. The idea is that this should be a Manx language opera. And so to take those words, have them translated into Manx, but in a way that just allows space for the Manx language to speak for itself, to come over in a natural and kind of authentic way in the language, and then to write the music from that text. So none of the music exists at the moment, and won't do until I kind of have that text and have a really clear idea of how the Manx intonation works, and how the word setting is going to make sense of the Manx words specifically. So the idea is that the language should be foregrounded in mm-hmm. this kind of operatic writing. It's not the same in every type of opera, but that's the approach we're going for.
What a fascinating project. We'll hear more from Matthew on this unique work next week and his ambitious plans for it. We'll also be talking about Guild 26. Yes, that guild. The deadline for entries will be here almost as soon as the last mince pie has been eaten. That's about it for now, though. We'll be back next week, as usual, before our Christmas break. See you then. In the meantime, be good, whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Add some tinsel, if you like. Hey, Moo.